The following broadcast is brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International.
Talk to you about the threefold work of the Holy Spirit before I pray for you. Acts chapter 1 verse 4, once when Jesus was eating with them, he commanded them, "Don't leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then he told what will happen when you're baptized with the Holy Spirit. Verse 8, "And you will receive power." Everybody say, "I will receive power."
I will receive power.
"You will receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And you'll be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth." Chapter 2, verse 1. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were meeting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on everyone. And everyone present, everybody say everyone present.
Everyone.
So how could anyone get a doctrine that this was for the 12 apostles? Everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, they came running and were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. How can this be? These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Here we are, and then it lists all the places they're from, about 14. For the sake of time. And we all hear them speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done. They stood there amazed and perplexed. "What can this mean?" they asked each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, "They're just drunk, that's all." Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, "Listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about it. These people are not drunk like you suppose. People don't get drunk by 9 o'clock in the morning." Peter had never been to Daytona Beach on spring break. LOL. "No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, saith God." What days are we in right now? That's right. And if Peter, quoting this, kicked off the last days, then we're not in the last days. We're in the final minutes of the last days, before Jesus calls his church out of the earth. This is what God said he would do. In the last days, God says, "I will," not "I'll try," "I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit on all my servants, men and women alike. And they will prophesy, and I will cause wonders in the heavens above, signs on the earth below, blood, fire, and clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark, and the moon will turn blood red before that great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you believe it, can you say aloud, amen?
Amen.
You can take your seats. Very quickly before I pray, the threefold work of the Holy Ghost, that if you don't have this, you're in for a rough life. People say, can you make it to heaven without following that command? Everybody say, command. That command that Jesus gave, it was not a suggestion. It was not, if a few of you would like to stay behind in the upper room, then feel free, you might enjoy that. He said, listen guys, don't do anything until you receive that which the Father promised. For John baptized with water, But the same way that John baptized you in water, I'm going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. And you will receive power. Say that again. I will receive power. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit, according to Jesus, is essentially a baptism of power. Many people know the Bible. They know that the Bible is right. You know, you talk to people that got saved even in America. You rarely hear somebody that doesn't say, I always believed in God. I always thought there was something there. But it's not doing anything to impact their life. But Jesus gave this gift, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, that gives or equips the believer with power. And there's three ways that power operates. Number one, power to you. Everybody say, to me. Most of you heard me tell this before, but I tell it pretty often because it had a pretty major impact on my life. At 8 years old, my parents sent me up to change for bed. We lived right outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, actually in the same town where we own an office now. Amazing to think back in 1988 when the Lord called me into ministry in that town, that building that was owned by a financial group would end up getting turned over to God. Is an amazing God. But I bent over to pick up my pajamas and looked up, and there was an angel on the other side of the bed. And the angel said, Jonathan, God has reserved you for this last period of time to be an evangelist, to call men and women that are now in darkness into the light, for soon it will be eternally too late. Do you understand? And I said, yes, with a speech impediment, because 8 sounds in the alphabet I could not say correctly. Some I couldn't say at all. And so 2 days a week at recess, when my friends went out to play street hockey or dodgeball or whatever, I stayed in for 40 minutes of speech therapy, trying to say, Sally sold seashells by the seashore. It was so frustrating. For 5 years, I never got one of the 8 sounds corrected. And so I bring that up because when God called me to preach, I didn't have the natural capacity to preach. You can't speak publicly for a living if you can't speak privately for free. And so when God called me, I didn't even have the ability to do that. But after God touched me, after that encounter, that therapist never made any progress. As you can see now, I don't have any problems saying any sounds. And then beyond that, I had 2 non-surgical procedures done on my legs. My bones in my legs were crooked. How much of a change did God do in me? I'll tell you, it was enough that when I preached back in my hometown in 2013, an old lady with white hair came to the altar at the end of the service and said, Jonathan, you probably don't remember me. I was your preschool teacher. Where are the braces that were on your legs? I said, they're back in hell with my speech impediment. Return to sender. Just because the devil sends you a package doesn't mean you have to keep it. You can tell the FedEx man to go take it back. I'm not taking anything from hell, but I am taking everything from heaven. And this is kind of off subject, but I'll tell you, just that happening to me has given me great faith that anytime a mother comes up to me with a 5-year-old or 3-year-old or 8-year-old or 10-year-old and says, Jonathan, they told me this, this, and this about my son, I can't even pretend to act concerned. They'll get upset sometimes because as they're telling me these major problems, I'll just start laughing. My son has a speech impediment, and then he has bone problems, and I'll just start laughing and say, what are you laughing at? This is serious. No, it's actually a lot less serious than you think, because that son you're holding with those problems was me 30 years ago. But look what Jesus did, not by might, not by power, not by human effort or ability, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. So you look at Peter here. The first change the Holy Spirit does is in you. He changes you, or he does a change to you. Everybody say, to me. Peter could not confess Christ before 3 girls at a campfire. Then all of a sudden, where did he get the boldness that there's 3,000 plus men and they're mocking them? Not like a crowd sitting wanting to hear the Bible. People saying these guys are lunatics. And Peter, with no microphone, no bullhorn, no invitation, steps forward and arrests the crowd with his words. You know how hard it is to quiet down 300 people, let alone 3,000 plus? and you don't have a sound system? You talk about a supernatural boldness. That the same Peter that before he was filled with the Holy Spirit could now step up and say, listen to me, you men of Galilee, you men of Jerusalem. Some of you are saying that we're drunk, but it's not true. People don't get drunk this early in the morning. You're actually witnessing the fulfillment of what Joel said. And by the time he gets about halfway through his sermon, that crowd of mockers, the Bible says they were now pricked in their hearts and said, brothers, what should we do? Peter didn't say, well, you know, just try to start going to church. He said, each of you must repent of your sin and turn to God for the remission of sin. And the Bible says that day, 3,000 men were added to the church by that change that took place to Peter. Where the devil had saddled him with the inability to be bold. He was weak, but when the Holy Spirit comes, he does a change to you. That the weaknesses, whether it's sickness or disease, whether it's an addiction. How many of you saw Killa from Hawaii give his testimony? You know, I knew Killa. When I see him testify, it's all I can do not to just cry for 7 minutes because I preached in Hawaii for years. And he worked for the hotel there down at the beach. I would invite him every year. Well, hey, why don't you come to the meetings tonight while I'm here? I'm preaching 3 nights. No, I don't think so, man. But we're glad you're here. Thanks for inviting me. He was far from God. Actually, when he got saved, all of the income that he took was illegal income. He had to walk away from everything. Cockfights and drug sales. That was how he did everything. He was far gone. So now to see him that wouldn't even come to church, that now he not only is he not bound by drugs, not only is he not bound by sin, that now will go into a Section 8 housing neighborhood and start speaking with that same fire that was on Peter, that's on me, that God will put on you today and arrest them. Jesus Christ hasn't changed. The Holy Ghost hasn't changed. There's nothing the devil has tied you up with that the fire of the Holy Ghost won't set you free today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you the best example of it that you can see. They tied Samson up with new ropes, but hallelujah. But when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, the ropes fell off. Everybody say, fell off. He didn't break the ropes. The Bible says the ropes fell off as if they were burned by fire. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, a man's sins are like ropes that catch and hold him, and he's not free to do what he wants. But when the Spirit of God came on Samson, those things that the enemy had bound him with, they were consumed by an invisible fire. You listen to me in this house. Every person that says, I battle drug addiction, I can't get free, I battle depression, I battle thoughts of suicide, those things are real, and those things are wrapped around your life. But when the Spirit of God falls upon you, those ropes fall off as if they were burned by fire. You are not leaving here bound. You are leaving here free by the power of the Holy Ghost. Everybody say, the Holy Spirit does something to me. Hallelujah. Where I just was in Europe, you know, you start preaching this stuff, people start believing it. This lady from Amsterdam came with her husband when I was getting ready to walk out the door and said, we just got an ultrasound. I'm 9 weeks pregnant, and they said the baby's been dead for the last 3 weeks. Would you pray? I got ready to pray, and I felt it like a volcano come out of my spirit. I put my hand on her belly. I said, child, live in Jesus' name. I said, now just praise God on the way home. I got a message on Instagram at 7 in the morning. She said, I wasn't feeling pains. I was feeling little kicks and movement. She said, I feel joy bubbling out of the inside of me. Listen, because This isn't some kind of little teeny power. The Bible says it's the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, if it dwells in you, he shall quicken your mortal body. It is a life-giving, overflowing, superabundant spirit of God that he wants you to have today. Everybody say, change to me. Then the Bible says that Holy Spirit does a change in you when it comes on the inside of you. So first the ropes fall off. Straighten your legs out. Make your tongue to speak. And then it comes, praise God, the Holy Spirit comes on the inside to abide. And that's where people, you know, kind of leave it or ignore it. But it's worth mentioning. The joy of having the Holy Spirit abide on the inside of you, where you have sweet fellowship with the Spirit of God. When God's Spirit, you know, if you ever hang around worldly people, which I make a point to, because it's hard to win people to the Lord if you don't. But when you hang around them, you realize they don't have peace. They don't have blessing. They don't have things that we take for granted. But because God, the Bible says, we've not received the world's spirit or a spirit of fear unto bondage. We've received God's Spirit. And when you have God's Spirit, there's a difference. I said, when you have God's Spirit, there's a difference. One of the main, turn to Psalm 1. Probably read this every time I preach. But the more I read it, the more I like it. Psalm 1. Psalm 1, 1 to 3. Thank you, Jesus is right. He's awesome. Psalm 1, 1 to 3. Man, I feel good. Hallelujah. Praise God. Going to be a good day at the river. Psalm 1, 1 to 3. Oh, the joys. Everybody say the joy. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers, but their delight is in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank. In every season, they bear fruit. Their leaves never wither, and whatsoever they do, it shall prosper. But not the wicked. They're like worthless chaff, scattered by the wind. They will be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly. For the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction. I would say, and I would consider myself an expert because I've lived in this country for 38 years, that the thing the devil tries to confuse or cloud the mind of people when they become Christians is that, and you'll hear them say it in church. How many of you know we're all sinners? You know, any church is just a congregation of sinners. Even the pastor's a sinner. One guy put on Twitter a couple weeks ago that's like a big ministry. Because the devil wants you to think that you have to have the same expectation in this life that a sinner has. But if there's one thing the Bible teaches, it's that when you get saved, you have come off of the broad way that leads to hell, and now you walk a different path. Everybody say, I walk a different path. That's right. I would love to see somebody show me in the Bible how you could make any argument for somebody giving their whole life to God and their life going down. You're not going to see that anywhere in the Bible. The Bible says he takes the beggar from the dunghill and sets him among princes. Hallelujah. When I got hooked up with Jesus, I wasn't free speaking, had a lot of money, and then I went down. No, I was speech impaired, disability in my legs, all kinds of problems. And as I've stayed with God, God will never bring you backwards. God always leads forward. So when the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you, it sets you apart from the world. I want you to say this so you can hear it, and I want you to say it so the devil can hear it. Lift your right hand up to God and say this: I'm not like everybody else. I'm not going to live like everybody else. I'm not wicked. I am righteous. I'm not cursed. I am blessed. In Jesus' name. If you believe it, shout amen like thunder. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you, he starts to, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, towards the end of the chapter, that he starts to reveal things from God's Spirit to your spirit. So what does he reveal to you? The Bible says in Jeremiah 29, 11, I know the plan I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a glorious future. If you ever hang around unsaved people, you'll find out that they are bound specifically to fear of an uncertain future and fear of death. There's people that have hundreds of millions of dollars in the bank that have to take a pill to go to sleep because they're worried about losing it all, as well they should, because the sinner has no guarantee of anything. But everything that we have a hope in is not just some random hope. It is backed by the efficacy of God's word. In Psalm 1, you read it, the first Psalm. The Bible says, if you make a decision to not listen to the advice of the wicked or stand with sinners or go where they go and listen to what they listen to and say what they say, that now you're blessed. And the Bible tells you what happens when you're blessed. The Bible says in every season, you will bear forth fruit. Your leaves will never wither, and whatsoever you do, it shall prosper. I don't have time to read it today, but Psalm 91 tells you the opposite of what you hear all through life and even in some churches. How many of you know we could die at any time? Our tomorrow's not promised. But no, my tomorrow's not promised because the rapture could happen. And in case of that event, I'm getting up out of here. But in lieu of the rapture, there is no devil. If all the devils, all the witches, all the everybody made it their business to take me out, when you're hooked up with God, there is no power in hell that can steal your tomorrow. You have a blessed hope and a blessed future. Somebody say, I have a blessed future. Yeah, I may have told this story before, but I feel like telling it again. I went to go see our baseball team in the city I live, the Pittsburgh Pirates play. And when I got there early because I don't like getting up during the game, sat down before the national anthem and had my food. And then as we were getting ready to do the national anthem, before that they said, tonight is Stand Up to Cancer Night. So they said, I want everybody to stand to your feet, which I stayed seated. I'm just in the habit of just do the opposite of what the world does and you go to heaven. Amen. Just like CNN was saying, we need to have less children. So I got my wife pregnant to have another child. Amen. Whatever the devil tells you not to do, do the other thing twice. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So I'd like everybody to stand to your feet. Tonight, Stand Up to Cancer Night. Well, they're free to do what they want. And they said, underneath your seat is a sign. And on that sign, it said, Stand Up to Cancer. And we've left a name blank with a pen. Write the name of somebody you know who's been affected by cancer. So everybody did. And then they said, now we want you to hold that sign up, and we want everyone, this is God's honest truth. They said, we want everybody to declare this. Either me or someone I know will be affected by cancer in my lifetime. Man, when they said that, I'm telling you, I had been out on the road for 50 straight days preaching two times a day. I didn't even have energy to get it upset. So I know it wasn't me that was upset. It was my spirit that was troubled, because the Bible says, by the fruit of a man's lips will his belly be satisfied. Death and life are in the power of the... So isn't it interesting that preachers like me and your pastor take heat and flack for trying to get people to believe the word and speak that? But the world has no problem getting people to speak sickness and disease and death and problems. I mean, you'll hear people this week. You know, well, wait till your kids turn 14. You wait, the economy. They're always speaking negative. So you would think that people would be smart enough to say, I'm not saying that. But no, like a big chorus from hell. Everybody, 30,000 people at PNC Park held up their signs. And like a big chorus, either me or someone I know will be affected by cancer in my lifetime. Well, let me tell you something. I'm not just hoping to not have cancer. Turn to Exodus chapter 15. I'm going to show you what the Bible says. Exodus 15. The people were thirsty. They're in the desert looking for water. Praise God. Verse 24. Exodus 15, 24. Then the people complained and turned against Moses. What are we going to drink? They demanded. So Moses cried out to the Lord for help. And the Lord showed him a piece of wood. Moses threw it into the water, and this made the water good to drink. It was there at Marah that the Lord set before them the following decree as a standard to test their faithfulness to him. Don't miss this. Exodus 15, 26. This is God speaking. God doesn't lie. These aren't encouraging phrases to get you through the day. This is God's guarantee to those that serve him with all their heart. Hallelujah. He said, if you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do, everybody say do. It's not just believing it, it's doing it. And do what is right in his sight, obeying his commands and keeping all his decrees, then I will not allow you to suffer any of the diseases that you saw come on the pagans. For I am the Lord who heals you. So I want you to notice something here. God didn't say, if you serve me, when you get sick, I'll heal you. He said, if you serve me. Notice what happened first. They finally find water. People start to drink it, and it's disgusting. It's got pond scum on it. It's got virus and bacteria. Well, you know, if you go to a public pool and a kid goes number two in the pool, the way they clean the pool is not taking a piece of wood and throwing it into the pool. So this was not a natural cleaning. This was a supernatural cleaning. That this disgusting water that was too bitter to drink, God showed Moses a piece of wood. D.L. Moody, the great Baptist pastor from Chicago, said that that wood represented a type of the cross. And when Moses took the wood and threw it into the water, all the scum, all the virus and bacteria cleared out of the water, and the water was sweet to drink. But God wasn't done. He said, you see how I did that to the water? Now I tell you this, if you will serve me, if you'll serve only me, the same way I cleared all that junk out of the pond, I won't allow any of the diseases that came on the Egyptians to ever come on you. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. Flip over a couple more chapters. Exodus 23. Exodus 23, 25. Here it is again. Exodus 23, 25. You must serve only the Lord your God. Everybody say, serve only the Lord. That's right. That's why it's Sunday morning. I'm not somewhere with a Buccaneers jersey on or a Rays jersey on. I'm not having a brunch with a couple of wine-addicted women talking about the affairs of life. I am found in the house of God because God is my God. How many of you can say the same thing? Shout aloud, amen. Amen. You must serve only the Lord your God. And if you do, and I do, and you do, I will bless your bread and your water, and I will protect you from illness. Not heal you when you get sick. I will protect the illness. It won't stand in your presence. There will be no miscarriages or infertility in your land. And I will give you long, full lives. We got a call when my wife was 6 weeks pregnant. Lady called us up the week before Christmas. Just so you know, the yolk sac didn't form correctly in your body. And so usually when this happens, it's a miscarriage. Well, if I didn't know what God told me in Exodus, I'd have got nervous. But I just said when she called up, you know, what a demonic thing to say. It's not like she said, so take more vitamin B, and you should be just so you know, your yolk sac looks a little irregular, and usually that leads to miscarriage. When my wife told me that, we just lifted our hands and said, thank you, Father, that they must have got the wrong number, because I know what your word says. Your word not only says you'll keep illness, you said we're to multiply, and you won't allow us to drop the fruit before it's time. Thank you that your word is true. Let God be true and every man be a liar. God will keep his word. God will keep his word. God is too faithful to fail, and it won't start with you. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say it again. I'm not like everybody else. And so there it is again. I will protect. If you serve me, I'll bless your bread and water. Do you know all the stuff that they're putting in the food? Yep. I don't have time. You know how much medication you'd be on if you're trying to make sure you are always getting that chicken that you're serving me. Can I have a list of how often you let it out to exercise? I'm sure there's a plan to put stuff in the food to reduce the population from 7 billion to 1 billion. But you know what? That's why we bless the food before we eat it. So we say, Father, whatever plan Nestle has, whatever plan the Bilderbergs have to lower the population, not only is it not going to lower the children of God, we will increase and multiply and possess the land. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So anyway, back to Pittsburgh. So you understand, that's what's in my spirit. Now stand up and declare this. Either me or someone I know is going to be affected by cancer in their lifetime. When they got done saying that, it was so demonic. All those people don't know any better, just saying what they're told to say. When they sat back down, I stood up and I yelled, man. I yelled, not me. And every head snapped around. I said, not just so the devil could hear me. Neither me nor anybody I know will be affected by cancer in my lifetime. I live in this world, but I'm not of this world. I am the called out, ecclesia, filled with the Holy Ghost and power. And I'm telling you, if you think I'm exaggerating, you've never been anywhere with me. I yelled it out so the devil could, don't group me in with them. I'm not on this earth to get cancer. I'm on this earth to destroy cancer by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I sat back down. And the old guy next to me with a white beard, already on his second beer, turned to me and said, "What'd you say?" And I told him with a fire in my eyes. I said, not me. Don't put that junk on me. I said, not me. Neither me nor anybody I know is going to get cancer. He went just like this with his beer. I like your way better. Me too. Hey, I got one drunk turned around. I'm looking to get a couple sober people turned around. That you live in this world, but you're not like this world. God has his hand on your life. Go ahead, take 15 seconds. Clap your hands unto God and give him a mighty shout of praise. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You can be seated. I hear the sounds of the armies of the Lord. We live in this world, but we're not subject to the bondage that is of this world. We've been raised together with Christ. Shout hallelujah. So number one, I said all that to say this. God's Spirit does something to you, but then God's Spirit does something in you. What is it? It testifies that you have a different future. Cancer doesn't get to pick when I die. I said cancer doesn't get to pick when I die. With long life. Everybody say long life. How many of you know we could die at any time? Speak for yourself. Keep saying that. You'll be dead by Thursday. I say the opposite. I will live and not die, that I may declare the goodness of the Lord while I'm yet in the land of the living. So the Bible says God's Spirit will testify to our spirit. So how come I stayed seated and didn't say it? Because there's another spirit in me. Listen, no, that doesn't apply to you. I'm a child of God. I have long life. Hallelujah. My dad made like 4,000. How many of you were here when my dad was here? Red-haired evangelist. Looks like he should be guarding a pot of gold in Killarney, Ireland or something. You know, my dad's first year in the ministry, he made right around $4,000. I'm not talking net income. I'm talking about total income. Like you preach 2 weeks of meetings and they give you a honey-glazed ham or a can of green beans from a farm. $4,000 with my mom and me in tow. If I had a fever, there was no pray and call the doctor. We didn't have enough money to make the long distance call to the doctor. No money for an ambulance ride, no insurance. And I'm telling you, am I dead? Is my sister dead? Is he dead? No, you saw him, 60 years old, preach strong. Just got back from Pakistan, doing 10 different cities. Hallelujah. This stuff works. Quit hanging around people that put doubt in your mind about it and start hanging around with people that believe that God is who he said he is. God's Spirit testified to me that no, that doesn't apply to you. So number one, God's Spirit will tell you, no, you have a future. Paul wasn't singing in prison because he thought he was going to be executed the next day. Paul was praising God in prison because the Lord had already told him, you must go to Rome and speak before Caesar. So he knows however this thing ends, it doesn't end here because I'm not done yet. And I tell every man and woman in the sound of my voice, you're not done yet. God's not through with you. God will open doors for you this year to advance and do what God's called you to do. What God does to you sets you free than what he does in you. You have fellowship with God. He testifies that these things are so. And I'll give you a second one. He blesses you. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you become like a magnet for blessing. Where's that in the Bible? Glad you asked. Psalm 23:5. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup of blessing runneth over. Your cup will run over the rest of this year in the name of Jesus Christ. I said your cup will run over the rest of this year in the name of Jesus Christ. I was getting ready to go preach in Boston, and the Lord spoke to me. Call your grandmother and ask her what the greatest miracle she ever did for your grandfather and her in 50 years of ministry was. So I called her. No one knew this story. It had died with her if the Lord didn't trigger me, and he obviously wanted it to live on. So I said, Grandma, what's the greatest miracle God ever did for you and Grandpa the 50 years you guys were preaching? Well, this might sound like a small miracle to some people, but it was big for us at the time, she said. She said, we woke up one morning. They had no income from preaching. They just preach on the street out of Bible college and believe, you know, just trust God. So she said, I woke up. There was no food for breakfast. So she said, I got ready to pray. And all of a sudden, what does the Bible say? Trouble chases sinners. Blessings pursue the righteous. She said, before I could even get one word out, I saw chickens marching down a hill. They're living in West Virginia towards our house. 21 chickens. So, you know, normally chickens aren't on the move. They keep them in a pen. So she said, I watched them. They're walking in a straight line, came down the hill on our property, took a turn, and all 21 went in the shed. So she said, I followed them in the shed to see what they were doing. All 21 chickens laid an egg. She said, I gathered all the eggs in a basket. Then the chickens went back up the hill. She said, I followed them up the hill. They all went back about a quarter mile up the hill to the pen they came from. And my grandma's super honest. She knocked on the door. Lady answered, hey, can I help you? She said, your chickens got loose and they laid eggs on my property. I wanted to know if you'd like them. The lady said, those can't be our chickens. My husband hates those chickens. Ever since he's bought them, they've never laid one egg. My grandmother told her, we don't even own chickens. She said, I promise you they're yours. She said, if they landed on your property, you can keep them. For the rest of the time that my grandparents lived there, those chickens, every time they started to get low on eggs, the chickens would come back down the hill, go in the shed, and lay eggs and leave. My grandmother never had to clean up after them. She never had to feed them. She never had to build a pen. Just collect the blessing. Hallelujah. And I tell you in the name of Jesus, if all you've known is struggle, when God anoints your head with oil, trouble doesn't find its way to you. The blessing of God will come without your permission. All you have to do is receive it. Somebody shout hallelujah. I'll tell you another one. I was actually with one of the guys. Of course, my grandmother's still alive. And then a guy they went to Bible college with just turned 89. And they were both in school at this time at Zion Bible Institute in East Providence, Rhode Island. They ran out of food for the whole Bible college, 300 kids. And the lady that started the school said, let's pray. So they prayed, and a student, the power of God came on him, and he stood up and gave a message from the Lord. He said, thus saith the Lord, go set the table and give thanks for the food. So they're praying, Lord, provide food. So God said, if you believe I'm going to provide it, go set the table, go sit down to eat, and say the prayer ahead of time. As they finished blessing the food, this is 1952, a man comes in, 1952, it's snowing in Rhode Island, and his 18-wheeler crashed, like capsized. And he said, he comes in, doesn't know anything. He said, listen, my 18-wheeler crashed on your property. He said, I just called headquarters. They can't, the 50s, well, they can't send anybody down for me for at least 3 days till the blizzard clears. He said, I'm going to lose an entire 18-wheeler shipment of potatoes. Could you use an 18-wheeler full of potatoes? So they start rejoicing. They ate like Irish people for the next 30 days. They had potatoes every way you could have them. Did you know when the man that owned that potato company in Aroostook County, Maine, heard what happened? He wasn't a Christian, but he heard that his truck wrecked on a Bible college campus and that they had been out of food, and the food came right in time. He even thought, that must be God. So every year, he would send them a year's supply of potatoes from the potato farm for free. Listen, my dad went to that school. My grandparents went in the 50s. My dad and my mother went there in the 70s, and I went 1998 to 2002. He was still doing it 50 years later from that company. The miracle that provided for my grandparents was still providing for my parents, and I was still eating from that miracle. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me. I'm going to tell you something right now, and I'm not saying it to fill time. Many of you, all you know is what it's like for hardship to come. You're to try your hardest and nothing work out. But I'm going to tell you, the same way God turned the tide and lack and insufficiency turned to a 50-year supply of potatoes that blessed them, that blessed their children, and blessed their grandchildren. You're not under a curse. From today, you are blessed. And that blessing will affect your children and your children's children, even to the fourth generation. If you receive it, put those hands together one more time and give God a mighty shout. Come on, take 15 good seconds and give God the greatest praise you've ever given anybody. Say it again so the devil can hear you. Say, I'm not under a curse. I am blessed. Now lift both hands where you're seated and just begin to thank God out of your mouth. Oh, you sound good. Doesn't sound like a Sunday morning church in America. Sounds like revival. Hallelujah. I hear the sound of this last day army of God. Hallelujah. You'll never be defeated. You'll never give up and quit. He that began a good work in you shall bring it to completion in Jesus' name. Everybody say the Holy Spirit. Does something to you. Say the Holy Spirit does something in you. And lastly, the Holy Spirit does something through you. Luke 10, 17 through 19. The disciples came back joyfully reporting to Jesus, Lord, even demons obey when we use your name. Jesus replied, demons, I saw their boss Satan get thrown out of heaven like lightning. And behold, everybody say behold. I give unto you authority. Everybody say authority. Over all the power of the devil. Let me tell you, authority is better to have than power. If you're in charge of the shipping yard in Tampa, do you want power to stop the ship? Or would you rather just go like this? Like the cops were doing last night at the hotel I stayed at downtown. The lightning were just getting out. They had the streets blocked off. Those cops didn't have to physically hold the cars back. Just go like that and everybody listen. That's authority. That's better. And Jesus said, behold, I give unto you authority over how much of the power of the devil? Oh, I only got a C in math, but even I can understand that. Answer me this riddle. If I bake you a pie and I cut it into 8 slices and I give you all 8 slices, how much is left for me? Yeah, none. So if all power's been given to us, authority over all the power of the devil, then what are all these charismatics always focused on? Demons and principalities and strongholds. Some of the people on Twitter that are charismatics focus more on demons than Satanists do. Today we're going to learn about this demon. Today we're going to learn about this demon. Why don't you start focusing? Instead of focusing on the negative wavelength, why don't you realize that the greater one lives on the inside of you and that he that lives in you is greater than every demon spirit that lives in the world. Authority over all the power of the devil. Everybody say authority. If you meet people that aren't saved or Christians that don't have the Holy Ghost, they don't have authority. They just, oh, God, God, God. Or they just expect for things to go wrong. But there's an authority that comes when you have the Holy Spirit or even if you hang around people that have the Holy Spirit. Por ejemplo, my daughter Camila was home alone with me. It was one of the first times my wife left her home, just me and her, and she went out to run some errands. I don't even know if she was 2 1/2 yet. Maybe 2 1/2. She just had a diaper on, and she wanted food. And, you know, at that point, now she's in school, but at that point, her and Adalys were with me in every meeting, 2 times a day. So, she had only been in this kind of thing. So she comes up to me playing video games, and she said, Pa, and again, how I ended up with Pa. My wife's Puerto Rican. I thought maybe I'd be Poppy. And then I always said, Dad. Somehow I became Pa like I'm 1837 Kentucky. She just came in from doing the chores. I still remember this. She had just had a diaper on, one hand on her hip. She said, Pa? I said, yes. She went, get me a yogurt in Jesus' name. I said, Camila, Camila, I'm not a devil. I'm your dad. You can just say, please. She had been watching, but you know what? I did end up getting her the yogurt, so it makes you wonder. I said, you don't have to command me. I'm your father. But she had heard that so much, just saying everything in Jesus' name. I'll tell you another funny one with her. Brother Ed's here in the second row. He knows the guy I'm talking about. His name's Carlos Zayas. I went over his house. I went to Bible college with him, and Camila was about 2 years old. Now think, she's just been in services like the kind you've been in her whole life. So they have a dog. She's 2 years old, very short. The dog charges at her. It was a nice dog. It wasn't going to attack her, but it's running full speed. And, you know, when you're that little, you can't blame her being afraid. Well, instead of running or, like, defending herself, she went like this. Be filled. Like, in other words, be filled with the Holy Spirit, thinking she could get it to fall over. Hallelujah. Because if you hang around with powerless people, you won't have any either. But if you start spending time with people that heal the sick, cast out devils, and by dominion remind the devil that 2,000 years ago he got his butt kicked on the cross of Calvary, that authority will start to operate in you, and you will put the devil on the run. Can you say amen? Everybody say authority. What do I do with my jacket? I'm just going to use it for an illustration. Everybody say authority.
Authority.
Over all the power of the devil.
The
There's a great Puerto Rican evangelist named G.J. Avila that just went to heaven a couple years ago. I think he was 91, 92. Had major miracles. Well, Adalis, my wife, her parents are driving a couple days before Christmas, and their car hits a pothole, and their little boy, Jose, at 3 years old, the pothole was so jarring, it opened the back door and ejected him. So he hits his head 25 miles an hour, 30 miles an hour at 3 years old, and has swelling on the brain, the whole thing. They rush him into the ICU and hook him up to full life support. Nothing's working. So nobody in my wife's family is a Christian, but they all know this guy, G.J. Avila. Everybody in Puerto Rico knew him because he shook the island. So my father-in-law, though he wasn't saved at the time, he's a big guy. He's still a big guy, mechanic, big hands. So he comes back to see G.J. before the service, and, like, you know, nobody's keeping him out. He's coming. So he comes through and he says, G.J., I need you to leave this meeting and come pray for my son or he's going to die. G.J. Avila, everybody say authority. G.J. Avila very calmly said, I can't come. There's people here that I have to preach to. But then took his handkerchief out of his suit, took Goya olive oil, poured it over the cloth, and said, rub this on your son's body and your son will live. And so my father-in-law went with the prophetic instruction, comes in to the hospital, pushes my mother-in-law out of the way, and starts rubbing this cloth over Jose's basically lifeless body, breathing machine, feeding machine, the whole thing. And they so didn't know about the things of God. My mother-in-law told me, I thought he was doing Santeria, like witchcraft. And so I said, Abednego, this is no time to do that stuff. And he held her off with one hand and finished doing what G.J. told him to do. And so then he just left. Kid doesn't look any different. And so the doctors come in and tell my mother-in-law, hey, he's not responding. We're going to have to pull the plug. You know, they need the hospital bed. And so my mother-in-law convinces them, my sisters are coming down from Boston. Would you wait till tomorrow morning? They'll be here in the middle of the night, and I'd like them to be able to say bye to him one more time when he's alive. So they gave her till 8 in the morning. So they all come in at 6 in the morning to say their final goodbye, walk down the hall, walk around the corner, come in the room, and Jose is sitting up eating cereal with all the tubes unplugged and says, hi, Mom, and waves. And he's about 41 or 42 today. Do you know what that lets you do? You know what that lets you know? The Holy Spirit doesn't just set you free, and the Holy Spirit doesn't just abide in you. The Bible says he gives us weapons for our warfare. The Bible says, for this reason was the Son of God made manifest, that he might destroy. Everybody say destroy. Destroy the work of the devil. So I want you to notice something. Just like Jesus, G.J. Avila didn't say, oh, sorry to hear that. Lord, comfort them. No, G.J. Avila understood that there was also, this is why I wanted to close with this, that there's also a work of the Holy Spirit to destroy the thing that's trying to destroy you. What's trying to break apart your marriage? Well, you know, it's not God. The Bible says, let no man tear apart what God has joined together. What works to divide homes? What works to destroy children? What's behind heroin addiction? What's behind depression and suicide? What's behind cancer and infirmity? If you read the Bible, it's not God. There wasn't any in the Garden of Eden. There's not going to be any hospitals in heaven. For the devil came. The gospel in one verse, John 10:10. The thief came, but not for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. But wait, 1 John 3:8. For this reason was the Son of God made manifest, that he might destroy. Everybody say destroy. Yeah, that's a strong word. Not comfort in the storm. He destroys the storm. That part of the work of the Holy Spirit is when you identify the force of darkness that's looking to take you out. You can speak to that thing in the name of Jesus, like telling your father to go get you a yogurt. You can say, you foul mountain that's trying to stand in my way, I'm not going to climb you. I'm not going to back up. I command you to be uprooted and cast into the sea. And Jesus said, your command will be obeyed. There are people all over this room. If I could sit down with you one-on-one, and I can't. That's why God does a big gathering, so you can knock out a bunch at once. But if we could talk together, you could tell me a horror story of what's gone wrong the last year or 3 years or 15 years, where it's been you getting your head slapped around in one area of life, two areas of life, and it seems like no matter what you do, you can't get free. I want to tell you before I head to Europe that no matter what the devil's done to you, there's nothing the devil has done to you or your children or your family that God won't do something about it before 1 o'clock this afternoon, because Jesus Christ hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the power of the Holy Ghost is the same today that it was in the book of Acts. You're only one prayer away from a miracle. You're only one prayer away from the hand of God pulling you up out of the pit and setting your feet on the rock to stay. If you can testify that the God we're talking about is a miracle working God, go ahead and testify with your hands and with your shout. Let God know that you know he's a miracle working God. Come on, take 15 good seconds and give God all you got. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stand on your feet, everybody. He's a miracle-working God. Well, you just wait on his time. His time's now. Find me any place where Jesus told a crippled person to wait on his time, where he told the blind man, wait on my time. No. As soon as you're ready, you're going to find out God's been ready for a long time, that he already paid the price. He already paid the price for your total freedom from every oppression of the devil 2,000 years ago. Who does the devil think he is? I said, who does the devil think he is to defy God's plan for your life? You think you can come here when your alarm went off and you felt like hitting the snooze button and you put your flesh under subjection and said, no, I'm coming to church. I'm going to honor the house of God. God never calls people to worship him without a blessing in mind for them. I'm going to tell you, there's people like my brother-in-law, Jose, that the truth is you're not only in bondage, you're actually at the point of death. Jesus is going to deliver you today. And like my friend Killa sitting there, somebody that you wondered if they could even get saved, if they'd ever even listen. And now they're carrying power. There's going to be people that come out of this meeting that people are going to have trouble coming to grips with the fact that you're even a Christian, let alone that the fact that there's a fire burning on the outside of you and a fire burning on the inside of you that makes the lame to walk, that makes the blind to see, that opens prison doors and frees your generation from every oppression of the devil. If that sounds like you, let your amen be the loudest. Every Bible college student, lift your hands all over this room. You won't have some little ministry. You won't speak some little message. The same way you've obeyed God to come to Tampa, God will begin to open doors for you. That when you leave this school, you will become a terror to the gates of hell. Hallelujah. You're going to do great things. There will be no small people that come out of this room. God is anointed. This is the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel, that in the last days, saith God. This lady right here, black dress. Come right here. Power of God's all over you. Yep, it's you. Quickly. Right there is fine. Lift both hands, close both eyes. Today begins a turning point in your life. No longer subject to bondage, you'll deliver people out of bondage. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Hallelujah. You're free. You're free from every oppression of the devil. You're free. There's many people here right now. The truth is, the devil's already hit you with his best shot. And it wasn't even enough to keep you out of church. So what are you worried about? You're coming out of this room to terrorize the gates of hell from now till when Jesus comes. So I'll just tell you, congratulations. Congratulations on the greatest year you've ever had in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Bow your head and close your eyes. If you're here and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can't put it off one more hour. You must be born again. You have to be saved. I'm heading to Europe in just a couple hours, because I don't want anybody from Amsterdam to go to hell. And I also, at least equally, don't want any good old Tampa, Florida Americans that believe in God. You didn't come to church today because you don't believe in God. You know there's a God, but it's not enough to know there's a God. You have to have a relationship with Him, and you can only have a relationship by coming through the door of His Son, Jesus Christ. Sometimes when people get attacked, they get discouraged. They think, what's the use of serving God? What's the use of going to church? And some of you fall into that category. You've done things and are in the process of doing things that you know are sin, that the Bible says is wicked, that no one will enter the kingdom of God that practices these things. What America celebrates is condemned in the Word of God. You can't sleep around and go to heaven. You can't drink and get drunk and go to heaven. You can't let your temper dominate you and go to heaven. The Bible calls things sin and says without holiness, no man will see God. That's why before Jesus gave the gift of the Holy Spirit, He died on the cross and shed His blood so that you could, because God will only pour His Spirit into clean vessels. I want to ask you something right now. Are you clean? If you stood before God right now to give an account for your life, are you living a pure and holy life? Or have you let sin come in and become a part of your lifestyle? If you fall into that second group, I'm not bringing it up to make you feel bad. I'm bringing it up so you can get rid of it instead of it getting rid of you. That you can make a clean start with God today and say, I'm through with the devil. I'm through living the way that America tells me to live. I'm going to live my life according to the Bible. I'm going to serve God with all my heart. If you'll make that decision today, you're going to find what the thief on the cross found out, that God doesn't hold anything you've done against you. As soon as you draw near to Him, He'll draw very near to you, but you have to make the move. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, Revelation chapter 3. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. You have to open the door. He won't kick it down. And He's knocking right now. Don't leave this room on your way to hell. Go to lunch today with a huge smile on your face, with the joy that all your sins are forgiven and all your iniquities are blotted out and you've been made a new creature. If you're hearing the sound of my voice, you say, Jonathan, that's me. I've never given my life to Jesus Christ publicly. Or, second group, I once did, But I fell away. I realize today I've fallen away from my first love. But I'm not ending today that way. I'm coming back to Jesus and for the rest of my life. March 31st, 2019 will be my new birthday. The day I said goodbye to the devil and the day I hooked up with the nail-scarred hands of Jesus Christ. If you fall into either of those groups and you need to receive Christ today, I want you to quickly put your hand up and wave it at me and we'll pray right now. I see you. I see you. Keep it up. Put it up high. Put it up boldly. I see you. I see you. Awesome. Anybody else before we pray? God bless you. I'm going to call you to this altar in about 60 seconds. We don't do this to embarrass you. This isn't this church's idea. The Bible says, come out from the crowd. Be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing. And I will be your God and you will be my people. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father that's in heaven. When I was growing up in church, they just said, just lift your hand there. I see that hand. God sees that hand. And them doing that for 30 years, camouflage altar calls, produced a generation of camouflage Christians that are nervous to pray before they eat at work. Work a job for 20 years and nobody even knows they go to church. Those days are over. God is looking for you with boldness to say, I'm not interested in what the crowd thinks. I make a stand to serve God. And when you draw near to him by doing that, he'll meet you at this altar right now. Everyone that lifted a hand, or if you didn't lift a hand, but God's wrestling with your heart and you know you need to be here, I want you to come and join me at the altar right now. Come now. Come right now. Today's your day. Come now. Hallelujah. God bless you as you come. This is your day. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Keep coming. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. They're going to sing it one more time. Anyone else? God's wrestling with your heart. Come to the altar right now. Square things away with God once and for all. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Both hands to the Lord where you're at right now. I'm going to lead you in a prayer just to give you the words to say, because some people have never prayed. So I'll give you what to say, but make it your own prayer from your heart. This isn't just like a little recital to say after me. You're talking to a living God. And even as you're praying, God will begin to do the work. Take out your old heart and put in a new heart. Amen. Congratulations ahead of time. Feels good to do the right thing. I want you to say this nice and loud to your Heavenly Father. Say this, Heavenly Father, I've come forward today to give you my life. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me in your blood. I believe in my heart. You raised Jesus from the dead. I confess with my mouth. Jesus Christ is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and my Savior. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Fill me with your power. Where I was weak, give me your strength. In Jesus' name. Now say this loud. I am saved. I am a Christian. God is my Father. My sins are forgiven. I'm on my way to heaven. I will not turn back. In Jesus' name, Amen.
Amen.
Lift both hands to the Lord and close both eyes. Let me pray for you. Look at the Lord touching people already. Father, I thank you for all my new brothers and sisters that you've received into your kingdom today. I thank you that everything that's from their past life, everything they don't want to have anymore, I thank you it falls off them forever today. Every depression, every physical malady, blood disorder, blood disease, liver failure, organ failure, cancer, I thank you that nothing that's not of you can remain in their body. I thank you for healing them from their head to their feet. I thank you that a new life begins right now in Jesus' name. Thank you for new lungs. Thank you for a new mind. Thank you for new bones. Thank you that nothing from today will ever be the same. In Jesus' name.
This program has been brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International in Tampa, Florida. For more information on the ministry of Drs. Rodney and Adonica Howard Brown, or for additional resources, visit revival.com.